We're doing Ben Yaakov on Brachot. Now we're up to page Peivav in the standard editions, which is Daf Nun Hei, the Gemara. We're holding three lines from the top. Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan, the great rabbi of Israel, the disciple of Rabbi Yanai, the Rebbe of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar, Rav Yochanan teaches us. Actually, it starts the line beforehand. Amar Rav Huna Barami, Amar Rav Tadas, Amar Rav Yochanan. It's a quote in the name of Rav Yochanan. Someone sees a dream in Nafsho Aguma, and he's all upset. Saw a dream that he thinks is a bad dream. Yelech v'yifterenu b'fnei gimel. So you should go and have it interpreted in front of three people. Yifterenu? Really? You should have it interpreted? You should have it defined? V'amar Rav Chisda chalmad lo mefarasher ke'igotad lo mikarya. But Rav Chisda taught us, we saw it last week, that if you don't tell over your dreams, then it's like a letter that was never read. So why should you tell it over? Better not tell it over. Ela, but you're right. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Really, you shouldn't tell your dream over. If you're worried about it, don't go telling anyone what you dreamt. Eima yetivenu bifnei gimen. But rather, what he should do is he should have it made good. He should have it bettered before three. How do you make a dream good? That's called hatavat chalom, the making of a dream good. How do you fix a dream? Here's what you do. And the Gemara tells us now what to do, and this is quoted in Halacha, and it's quoted in Sidurim. Leiti tlata, he summons three people, preferably three people that like him. In some versions of the Talmud it says, demirachmi lei, that like him. Veleima lehu, and they should tell him, the three people. He comes and says, I had a dream, and these three tell him. Chalma tava chazai. So, okay, the way the Gemara says here is he tells him, I saw a good dream. V'leim hulei, they say to him, v'leim alei hanach, and they say to him the following words. Tava hu, v'tava leheve. It is a good dream and it should turn out to be good. Meaning both what you saw should be good and the interpretation, the outcome of what you saw should be good. Rachmana leshavye letav. God should make it into a good dream. Sheva zimnin. They say this seven times. It is good, and God should make it into good. It is good, and its interpretation is good, and God should make it good. Ligzru alach min shemaim d'lehevei tava v'hevei tava. They should decree upon you from heaven that it should be good, and it really should be good. So they tell him this. V'leimru gimel afuchot, v'gimel pduyot, v'shalosh shlomot. They should say three things that describe how things are overturned, and three things about how things, three verses that describe redemption, and three verses that describe peace. Right? Whenever we want to validate something, whenever we want to say something with firmness, with validity, we say it three times, when we want to ensure that people accept it. So, in order to give something validity, you say it three times. So, what do you say? You say three verses that describe how something's overturned. Because if it was a bad dream, you want it overturned. You say three verses that describe how something can be redeemed. You say three verses of peace. Shalosh hafechot, three verses that describe how things are overturned. Number one, hafachta mispidi lemacholi, pitachta saki v'tazreini simcha. The verse in which King David says, you overturned my eulogy, my mourning, into a state of happiness. You opened up my sack, you girdled me with happiness. Meaning I was dressed in sack, I thought everything was all over, and you girdled me with happiness. You overturned the situation. So that's one pasuk that describes being overturned. Number two, as tismach betulab machol v'achlim uskenim yachdav, then the prophet in Jeremiah says, then the virgin will rejoice in song and dance, and the young and old together will rejoice, and I will overturn their mourning into rejoicing. So here you have verse number two that discusses how a sad thing is overturned into happiness. And the last verse is a verse from Torah. God did not want to listen to Bilam, but rather God overturned his curses into blessings. So those are three verses about overturning. Shalosh p'duyot, three verses about redemption. Dichtiv padav shalom nashim mikiravli. King David says how God redeemed his soul, that there was a war, there was a danger, and God redeemed his soul from that. Number two is Ufduye Hashem Yeshuvun, Uvao Tzion Berina, the description of redemption, where those who are redeemed by God will return to Zion with rejoicing. And the third verse about redemption, Vayomer Amen Shaul Yonatan Imuto She'asa Yeshua Gdola Azo, Chalila Chayashem Yimipol Mezarat Osho Arza, Vayivdu Amet Yonatan Velo Met. The verse describes how when they went to war against the Philistines, they had a great victory, and King Saul didn't want people to stop to taste from the loot, so he said anyone who tastes from it will get killed. Jonathan, his own son, wasn't present when he made this vow, and he had led the attack before everyone else, and before this vow was made, and he was unaware of it. So when they entered the forest, and there was sugar cane dripping, he took some of the sugar cane and ate. And then, when King Saul tried asking God how they should proceed with the war, God wouldn't answer him. So King Saul realized that someone had transgressed the vow, and he said, whoever it is, even if it's my son, he will die, the way I said. So they drew lots, and it turned out it was his son. So he says, okay, Yonatan, tell me what you did, you're going to die. And Yonatan says, well, I was out in the forest, there's sugar cane dripping, I stuck my staff in the sugar cane, and I ate from it, and then I continued the war. So his father, Saul, says, okay, prepare to die. And the nation says, no, God forbid, the whole victory was a result of Yonatan. Yonatan attacked when everyone else was still contemplating how to advance to war. Yonatan went ahead and attacked, and he started the victory, a one-man show. How could anything happen to Yonatan? And the nation redeemed Yonatan from death. They brought halachic claims why Yonatan was absolved from the vow. He wasn't present, he didn't know, etc. And they found room to allow Jonathan to remain alive. So the verse over there says, they redeemed Yonatan. So that's the third verse that describes redemption from a dangerous situation. So that, we said, three verses about things being overturned, three verses about redemption. All of this is printed in the Siddur. You don't have to remember this by heart, but at least you'll know what you're reading, or what your three friends are reading. Shalosh Shlomot, three verses that describe peace. Dichtiv Boreniv Sfatan Shalom Shalom La'ochok La'korov Amar Shem Ufativ. One verse describes how God sends peace to those that are distant, meaning those who did tshuva, they came from afar, and those that were always close, they never sinned too heavily. And then second verse says, "V'ruach lavshat amasai rosh ha-shalishim l'cha shalom." The verse describes how they greet King David with peace, etc. "V'amata kol lechai v'ata shalom v'itcha shalom chol shalcha shalom." And then the third verse is a verse in which King David greets Naval, and he sends him word, and he says, I extend my peace to you and your home, and everything you have should be with peace. So those are the three verses. Now, here in Israel, people don't have this custom so much, but really in Chutz Lartz, and I guess in Israel they should also do it, we have a custom to read on Matzei Shabbos, V'yiten Lecha, a list of verses that describe blessing for the week. And among the things we read on Matzei Shabbos are all of these verses. All of these verses are there. They're verses that describe a good situation, and it's a way of wishing ourselves a good week. So that's it. Halachically today, that's what we do. A person has a dream and he's concerned about it. So we say, number one, don't tell anyone. Because if you don't tell over a dream, then it's not going to happen. And number two, if you're really worried, so get three friends to sit down, bring them sidurim, show them this atavat halom, and then you do the whole thing, the way it says here. Now this is something that's a segula. It's like an amulet. This is a way the Talmud says you can make a dream turn out to be good. If you had a dream you're worried about, we're going to see as we go on that sometimes you can have an almost identical dream with one nuance different, and the Talmud recognizes that nuance makes all the difference. In one case it could be a good dream, in one case it could be a bad dream. So we don't really know how to interpret dreams, and that's why today we don't do Tanit Chalom. In the times of the Talmud, if a person had a bad dream, so then they'd even reach a point where they might fast over a bad dream. They might even fast on Shabbos. We say that we don't really know how to interpret our dreams, and many of our dreams just stem from indigestion. You eat a lot before you go to sleep, and then you might have bad dreams. And so the most we would do is this. If you're really nervous, you could also give tzedakah. That's always a good thing to do. But not more than that. Amemar Mazutra v'Ravashi aviyatve ba'ade adadi. Amemar Mazutra and Ravashi were all sitting together. Amrei kol chad v'chad minan le'mamiltad loshmei le'lechavrei. They said, let's each say something that the other one's never heard before. So we'll each say something, we'll each educate one another. Patach chad minan v'amal. So one of them began by saying, Haiman d'chazi chelma v'lo yadam ha'chaza. Someone saw a dream and he doesn't know what he saw. Meaning, he doesn't remember. Lekum kame kahane beidna de palsi yadayu. He should stand in front of the kohanim when they do birchas kohanim, when they spread their hands. Belei mahachi, and he should say the following. And this is printed in the sidurim too. Ribono shel olam, ani shelach b'chalomotai shelach. Master of the world, I belong to you, and my dreams belong to you. Chalom chalamti ve'ni yodeh mao. I saw a dream, I don't know what it was. Ben shechalamti ani le'atzmi, uven shechalamti li'cha, uven shechalmu li'chaverai. Be it a dream I dreamt about myself, be it a dream that others dreamt about me, uven shechalamti al achirim, or a dream that I dreamt about others. Im tovimim, if my dreams are good, chazkem me'amtzem kachalomotav shel Yosef HaTzadik, then strengthen them, empower them like the dreams of Yosef the righteous. We know Yosef's dreams came true even after 22 years, but they came true. Ve'im tzachim refuah, if they're dreams that require healing, meaning they're not good dreams, so then refa'im, I beg of you to heal them, kemei mara liyadei Moshe Rabbeinu, just as the waters in the place called Mara, the bitter waters, were healed in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, uchemiriyam itzara'ata, and as Miriam was healed from her leprosy, ukechizkiyahu mecholyo, and like Chizkiyahu was healed from his illness, ukemei yericho al yedei Elisha, like the waters of Jericho were cured by Elijah, ukeshem shafachta kilat Bilam harasha lebracha, and just as you overturned Bilam the wicked's curse to blessing, kenafoch kol chalomotai elai letova, so you should overturn all my dreams, obviously that are harmful, you should turn them to be good. And he should conclude this prayer together with the Kohanim, so that the congregation, when they answer Amen, it'll also go on his prayer. So this is printed in the Sidur, this Ribono Shalom. And if he's not going to say all of that, let him say the following. If a person didn't have any dreams, he's got nothing to worry about, so what does he say? And we also say this. This is also printed in the Siddurim. What do we say after the Kohanim did Birkat Kohanim? Adir b'marom shochen b'gvura. The awesome one who is up above, who rests in his might. Ata shalom v'shimcha shalom. You are peace. Your name is peace. Yiratzon mifanecha shetasim aleinu shalom. May it be the will before you that you place peace upon us. So this is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We say this, right? Every time after Birchas Kohanim, while the Chazan says Sim Shalom, we say this Adir Bamom Shchein Bivua Tashlom Shimcha Shalom. What we just read, you're supposed to say that. What we're basically saying is the culmination of the blessing of the Kohanim was about peace. So we ask Hashem, may it be His will that peace really be placed upon us. And again, we try to conclude this together with the Chazan's conclusion of Hamrech Tamo Yisrael Bashalom, so that the Amen goes on that as well. So that's the first one. We said the three rabbis were sitting together. Each one said, I'll say something, let's say something that the other guys don't know. So the first one said, what do you say about a bad dream? What the prayer you could say in Birkat Kohanim, and the prayer you say following Birkat Kohanim. Patach idach v'amal. So the other rabbi, he said the following. Hay man de'ay lemata v'dachil me'in abisha. If a person goes into a city, and he's worried about ayin hara, he's worried other people are going to look at him, and they're looking at him badly, and we know that that can sometimes have an impact. The fact that people look badly upon us, what's called an ayin hara. Linkot zakfa diyada diyamine, let him take the thumb of his right hand. Diyada dismale, stick it into his left hand. The zakfa diyada dismale, and his left thumb, he sticks into his right hand. So it looks like this, yeah? Both thumbs and both hands. Guys, it takes a little bit of practice, but not so difficult. And he puts the thumb of his left hand into his right hand. Not so complicated, right? And then he says the following, which is again some kind of Kabbalistic incantation, just like the bettering of a dream. He should say the following. Ana ploni bar planita. I, so-and-so, the son of, he says his mother's name, Mizara de Yosef Katina. I come from the seed of Joseph. That the evil eye can't touch him, can't take control of him. Dichtiv, as the verse says, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Alei Ayin. The Yosef is the fruitful son, he is the son that's above the eye. He rules over the eye. Ve'amar Rav, and Rav said about this Pasuk, Al Tikri Alei Ayin Ela Olei Ayin. The Pasuk is indicating he is above the eye. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar Mehacha, he says the source for this concept is the other verse, Ve'idgul Arov Bekerv Haaretz. There will be plentiful like fish among the land, Madagim Shebeyam Mayim Mechase Aleihem, just as the water covers the fish in the sea, Ve'inayin Hara Sholetet Bem, so the evil eye can't take hold of them, Af Zoro Shel Yosef, Ve'inayin Hara Sholetet Bem. So to the seed of Yosef, Ayin Hara doesn't take hold of them. So, this piece of advice, I did before my wedding, for my engagement. Anytime I have to go on the public scene, I say, who knows? You know, people are always jealous. That's the nature of humanity. Chazal say that there isn't a bachelor who attends his friend's wedding that isn't stung. Everyone has a, you know, I wish him well, but I wish me well too. And Chazal say a person never attends a wedding without being stung a little bit too. So that's where the custom comes from, that we throw candies. Rav Mutzafi once said in a shir that the ancient custom was that everyone would give the chassan a blessing. But you know, a person comes to give the chassan a blessing, and it's the chassan zafruf, and he feels like, well, my kid isn't getting married, I'm not getting married, or everyone has their tzara. One person isn't happy with his kid's chinuch, the other person isn't happy with his parnasa. Everyone walks around carrying their pekel. And so he's got to give someone else a blessing, and it's a little hard to be really happy for someone else, because everyone has the things that they'd like to be better in their own life. And when they see someone else all happy, so on the one hand, they want to be happy for him, but on the other hand, they still have a pinch in their heart that says, I wish I had it better. So the custom was that the chassan would first give every person the candy. The person would make a blessing on the candy and suck the candy. And we human beings have this fickleness about us, that if you give a guy candy, even for a split second, suddenly he doesn't think about all his troubles. He enjoys the candy for a second. For that moment, he's happy. He got a candy. And then it's much easier to give a blessing, because for a moment, he's diverted his attention from the jealousy that really is lying in his heart. So Rav Mutzafi said in a shir that that was where the custom began. That everyone would walk and wish the chassan good Shabbos, get a candy, make a blessing, suck on the candy, and give the chassan a blessing back. And that was the logic behind that custom. But the nature of humanity is that when we see someone else happy, so it bothers us a little bit. Every person has a little bit of that evil eye in himself too, a little bit of that jealousy too. So if a person knows he's entering a situation where he might be looked upon with jealousy, so then why not do what the Talmud says? You'll ask me how it works, I have no clue. But I trust them, they knew, they told me, so I might as well glean from that wisdom. So it's a very simple, you see, it's two lines of the Talmud here. You just gotta, I opened up a Gemara, I didn't remember it by heart, but why not? So now you know how to avoid it. If a person's fearful that he'll enter a situation where people might look at him jealously, what we call with the evil eye, so then this is something which the Talmud says in some way protects a person.
Why is it that we're
right. So the idea is, the simple understanding is that this is an incantation. You know, this is some kind of Kabbalistic incantation. It's not, doesn't mean literally. The deeper understanding is that Yosef is called the father of all of Israel. Noheg katzon Yosef. You see that all of Israel is called Ephraim. Ephraim is Yosef's son. And yet we're all called Ephraim. Ever since Yosef took care of all of Israel by feeding everyone when there was a famine, so we're all called his children, because he took care of all of us. It's thanks to him that there's a continuum of the people of Israel. So there is an aspect where in Talmudic literature and in Tanakh, sometimes we're considered as though we're all from Yosef, ever since then, ever since Yosef fed everyone. The idachin mein abisha delay. What if a person's worried that he himself is going to look with the evil eye? He's going to look jealously at other people. Lichze atalfa dinahara dismale. So then he should look at his left nostril. A person should look down at his own left nostril, and somehow that will help him resolve the situation. So we had two quotes, and the third one, I don't think we have time to do, so we'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next time, just because Alvit is at half test, right? So we gotta go. So to be continued next week, Bezrat Hashem.